Hi there, Pressbox Radio. We're now with you as well. It's myself and Rita on the Project Game Day post-game show, brought to you by the U.S. Army and Par Excel. So yes, Ravens lose 44-7. I don't even know where to start, Rita, because most of the conversation I had on Twitter and at halftime, nothing really changed, but it's all relevant. All of it is. And that's what I want you to know. Whatever it is that you're bitching about today, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you're right. The problem is, whichever of you thinks it's only individually one thing, you're wrong.
They'll try it, though. People will try to make it one thing. There's so many different variables of why we just saw what happened today.
Correct.
And you can't place it on one person. I noticed a lot of people on Twitter love bringing up Flacco, and I get it. That's what we do. When teams aren't good, we go after the quarterback. When teams are good, we praise the quarterback. I understand that a lot of you guys don't really know how to look at other dimensions of the game, but it's not that simple, guys. It really isn't that simple.
With all that being said, nobody's trying to convince anyone that Joe Flacco played well today.
I am not that person today.
But the notion of that being it's because Joe Flacco sucks or something like that.
Then you was watching a totally different football
game. Right. Did you see how the offensive line played? Do you see what he has to work with to begin with, even before he lost Marshall Yanda?
Correct.
All that being said, finally they went to Alex Flanagan in the second half, and she brought up, oh, by the way, dude's back, also completely tightened up, because of course it did. He had to fly overseas 2 days ago with a cranky back. Like, of course he did. Now, I don't think Joe Flacco with a perfect back would have been able to play well today.
No.
I think it was a disaster. From the beginning. And against the Jaguars defense that, let's be fair, is way better than we were willing to give them credit for.
Yes.
Because we didn't want to. Like, evidence actually exists about how good the Jaguars defense is. It's a very good defense, loaded with young players. They have loaded up that side of the ball. All that being said, I don't think we expected the Ravens defense to be this piss poor, and I don't think we knew just how bad things would be with Marshall Yanda not present along the offensive line. I think I haven't really thought about this. Like, there's one – with Marshall Yanda gone, there's only one guy on that offensive line who's definitely a starter for any other team in the NFL. That's Ronnie Stanley.
That's it.
Austin Howard was available into training camp.
Correct. He got cut.
Nobody wanted him.
Correct.
He was available to be had, and no one wanted him until into training camp the Ravens realized what a disaster it was at right tackle. On the inside, you know what the Ravens are dealing with. It's a complete S show on the inside of the offensive line. They've got nothing everywhere. It's piss poor. They couldn't throw the ball. They couldn't run the ball. They couldn't do anything. And again, their skill position players aren't so good to begin with that they're able to overcome the issues along the offensive line. And as we've seen in other cities, I brought this up at halftime, this thing where you want to believe that a quarterback should just be able to overcome an offensive line, ask me how that's working out for the Giants. Ask me how that's working out for the Seahawks currently. Everybody believes Russell Wilson is great, right? How's he look for 2 weeks when their offensive line is complete doo-doo?
Absolutely.
This is what you get when your offensive line sucks. You can't do anything, and the Ravens' offensive line sucks with no real hope for thinking that it's going to improve.
And let's switch the gears on the other side as well, is that their offensive line sucked. Meanwhile, the Jaguars' offensive line looked pretty good, and that probably had a lot to do with the fact that Brandon Williams did not play. Because to me, him being out is just as important. I'm not going to say more, but just as important as the fact of Marshall Yanda not being available.
Right.
You saw, and they tried to get some other guys come in and replace him. He's another guy that's very hard to replace.
Well, sure.
They couldn't really get a push up on the line. Fournette has had a pretty good day. Leonard Fournette had a pretty good day. So you have to look at both sides of the ball. The Ravens absolutely suffered from the offensive line standpoint, but defensively they needed Brandon Williams to try to collapse the pocket. There were times that Bortles had time to just kind of think and play with his nails a little bit before he waited for a receiver to get open. And then he used his legs to extend the play and was still looking downfield, getting guys open. But the offensive line was still doing their job.
Well, I think what you're referring to, and I want to try to break this up a little bit and not touch it all in one big fell swoop, is the question that we've been asking for the first 2 weeks of the season, which was, how much of this is about the Ravens? How much of this is about the Browns and Bengals?
Correct.
And I think you got at least, and I'm not trying to be completely dismissive of the Ravens and pretend as though they're it was a joke what happened in the first 2 weeks, they aren't good at all, or something along those lines. But I think you got more of your answer, that what happened in those 2 weeks at least had a fair bit to do with who their opponents were and how piss poor those opponents were, and that had much to do with why the Ravens were so dominant on the other side of the ball. Could Terrell Suggs do this for 16 games?
No, well, we have already talked about that that's not possible. I'm going to go on the other side of that, though. I'm going to I've seen the Ravens do this before. I've seen the Ravens have games like this, and I tweeted about this not too long ago.
They had one in Jacksonville a few years back.
They had one in Houston the same year that they went to the playoffs. They got dominated by the Texans, and I don't even remember the quarterback for the Texans, who it was, but they got dominated by the Texans. They still made the playoffs. They still advanced to the second round. Here it is, guys. You lose a guy like Yonda, which is a huge hit. You have Brandon Williams that's not playing. You're on a short week that you have to take a plane on a Thursday night to go to a whole nother country to try to, you know, do what you have to do to take away from the fact that you lost two big guys for this game. So I think that those intangibles are important. Now, I'm not dismissing the first two games. I do think that those are lesser opponents, and you have to take it for what it's worth. But that being said, Blake Bortles is not a good quarterback. However, their mishaps or their injuries allowed him to look good today. And man, I think you do have to take that into account.
Okay, but Brandon Williams alone being gone should not drastically – I get it.
We could be saying the same thing about Marshawn Yonda.
I'll disagree with that for one reason, Rita, because they built a team where they loaded up one side of the ball, and they had so little on the other side of the ball. So when they lose Marshall Yonda, like, you didn't have much to begin with anyway on the offense. You weren't going to win this season because of your offense. Like, they built a team that way. That's how they built their roster, so that it was going to be, we have to be dominant on the defensive side of the ball. We think we can be dominant on the defensive side of the ball, but we have to be, because we can't count on the other side of the ball to deliver all that much. There's just not much there to begin with. So when you lose Marshall Yonda, as I said a week ago, as devastating as that was, my point was you can overcome it, but you have to overcome it by being as good as you've been defensively moving forward. And look, turnovers.
But that's why I do think that this Williams thing, because you can't afford to lose both in the same week. I'm saying?
I sort of hear you, but I think the defense, the point was it was supposed to be different. Look how deep
it was. You're right.
They were so deep on the defensive line that there were three defensive linemen that weren't active in each of the first 2 weeks.
Correct.
Right? Like, they were so deep along the defensive line. They had done so much on that side of the ball to try to win that way that they were supposed to be able to overcome an injury. It was supposed to be about how deep they were and all of the options that they had to try to beat you defensively. That is proving to be paper thin.
Correct.
That what you're saying is, okay, well, as it turns out, you had one player go down, and now you look like complete dog doo-doo.
They had,
and if that's the case, then you've got your answer about the defense. It's not really that great.
I agree.
If one player being missing can disrupt it so much, and by the way, if it was Jimmy Smith, I would probably feel the same way. Like, I want to make that very clear. If Jimmy Smith was missing, I don't think this defense could overcome that.
I don't think
they were ever as dominant as people wanted them to believe or wanted to believe they were. I think this was a good defense, a defense that was certainly better than the offense was. I never believed it was the historically great, oh my God, we're watching the 2000 Ravens all over again type of defense that people wanted it to be.
I agree.
I think it was a unit that was able to take advantage of their opponents for 2 weeks and put together gaudy turnover numbers. And that, again, as I kept saying, if you can keep getting 5 turnovers per game, you're going to win. You're going to win all the time. I didn't believe they could keep getting 5 turnovers per game. Now, I would have liked to have thought they could get, like, 1. You know, like that would be nice.
That would have been nice.
Nice.
Well, we would have appreciated that.
Right? Like, that would have been a good thing.
The Ravens, I think, are at the point, because they've been so snake bitten with injuries, that they're set up to things having to be a certain way. And when they're not that way, the slightest thing can throw them off. Obviously, Yonda is not a slightest thing. That's
it's massive, right?
That's a massive thing.
Yeah.
Brandon Williams is not a slightest thing. That's a big thing. But they're set up to, they need certain pieces to be in place for them to be successful. You lose two guys. One guy, yes, is coming back at some point. He'll be back, right?
Brandon Williams.
But the other guy, you cannot afford to lose him. But besides Flacco and Stanley, those three guys on offense, you could not afford to lose before the game started week 1.
Right.
you've lost one of those three guys correct. Already. So the Ravens have a...
And by the way, the other two still have to hold up for another 15 weeks.
Correct. and one has a back problem. Right, and then correct. The other one missed extensive time in the preseason. So the Ravens have an issue here because you did make a valid point that they went out and they uploaded this whole... in the draft, they got all these defensive guys on the line. They were supposed to be so much better at this position, and then they didn't really do much on the other side of the ball because correct. Potentially they were comfortable. I don't know what their situation was. Maybe they didn't like the guys that were on the board. I don't know what their situation was.
They didn't do anything in free. They added one player in free agent, and in fairness, that guy hasn't been out there either, and Danny Woodhead.
Fine.
So that's been tough for them. But I don't think Danny Woodhead was making a difference today.
It would not have made a difference today. Right. I brought this point up to KO earlier in the Fantasy and Reality Show is that. You know, I was definitely a critic of what they had done the past couple of drafts, just being defensive heavy. But I understand now. I get it. I get why they did what they did, even though today it didn't really do much.
Right.
However, do we start to see the Ravens make a shift and do the next two drafts the same way they did the previous two and change it to offense? Find a way to build offensive linemen because they know that the trenches are important in football.
Right.
The Ravens are very good at knowing that. For whatever reason, they have not put much stock into the offensive line as they did the defensive line. But do you now find the Ravens going, okay, this is why we didn't win games? Well,
they would probably remind you they're a year removed from taking two offensive linemen who were both not only starters but quality football players, losing Alex Lewis as well.
Correct. You lose Alex Lewis, but then you also lose Rick Wagner to free agency.
Yeah,
so you do
contract.
Have to find a way to replenish those guys. Do you find the Ravens now making some type of shift saying, okay, we're still if the skill players are there, they're there, but we need to focus on offensive linemen because this is a problem.
It's a long-term question that we will not have any answers to, and then there's always the questions about, well, you know, what's Ozzie Newsome's status? I mean, there's so much stuff that we'll get to when we get to that, you know what I mean? But I hear you. You can't change what you've done.
No.
What you've done is you built a roster that had to win with dominant defense.
Yep.
That was the only way you could win this season is if your defense was truly dominant. Not good, not serviceable, not statistically decent, not what they were a year ago. A year ago, they were a good defense statistically. They lost. They didn't even replenish what they lost offensively from a year ago. They
correct.
Weren't even as good as the bad offensive team that they were a year ago. They had to be great. They had to be dominant on the other side of the ball. A lot of people wanted to believe that they could be, and through 2 weeks, you had at least a modicum of evidence that suggested maybe they really were. Now you've got the evidence on the other side. Now you've got the world where, okay, maybe we got a little ahead of ourselves and we have to deal with that. Let me get to some of the responses that have started coming in. Our buddy Andrew Stecka, I'm bothered by this being called a trap game by some. Doesn't this game show a brighter indication of what this team can be, quote, how bad, rather than just looking past Jacksonville to Pittsburgh? That would be foolish. Yeah, I don't. If you're trying to dismiss this as, well, they, you know, I say all of these things are true. All of them are true, but that's
yes.
why I keep going back to not one of them individually is true. If you want to dismiss everything else and say this was the story of what happened today was only about the Ravens being put in a spot where they were thinking about Pittsburgh and not thinking about Jacksonville, or where they were, you know, it was just about the trip to London and all the distractions that come with going to London. If you want to eliminate all of the other issues and simply look at that as being the singular problem, no.
I agree.
No, incorrect. But it doesn't mean it wasn't a problem.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that couldn't have been a factor. You know, like, I don't doubt that a team that had never been gone to London before, only a handful of players on the roster who had ever gone to London before, whose families all want to come, they all want to make the trip. Now, they're coordinating all of that this week, who had never experienced a team telling them, by the way, you've got to get a night. Remember how much the Ravens obsess over sleep, right? Like, they're bringing in experts to study how they sleep and how can they sleep better and all that crap. Go sleep on a plane on Thursday night.
Oh, I wouldn't even want to imagine what that's like. And I know, and I'm sure that they have much better sleeping situations than the average person. But it doesn't matter.
No,
it's a plane.
No, you're not sleeping well. You're not sleeping.
No.
It's not comfortable.
It's not comfortable.
None of those things. So again, all of those things are factors to me. Really.
I agree.
It's just that none of them. You can't dismiss the other issues and say, well, I'm not worried about this team because this was just about London or this was just about
correct.
Them looking past Jacksonville. If you're saying that, you're being completely myopic. It doesn't work. It does not gel with reality.
I agree. I did tweet earlier that I do think that the Ravens could be okay. And I'm not being dismissive of that. What I said that, the reason why I said that is because I do think you have to go back and look at this. You were manhandled up front on both sides of the football. All you have to do is try to figure out ways to be in better positions to get some rushes on the pass. I don't think Bortles was sacked at all today.
Yeah, I mean,
they got zero pressure on the quarterback, and then obviously you had issues protecting your own quarterback.
That speaks to one of the other things we talked about, Rita, which is when I said, "Hey, can Terrell Suggs do this for 16 games?"
We both said no.
I brought that up in part because one of the things that would have made me feel better about this defense, if through two games one of these young pass rushers
had shown
a sign that they were coming into their own.
I agree.
They were going to be a difference maker.
You can't let a 35-year-old keep being the leader of what you guys should be doing.
Correct.
You should be wanting to play like him in his prime. So I do think that the Ravens, I think that their makeup is good enough to overcome a loss like that, but I don't think you should ignore that loss. Like, you got manhandled, and it started up front, and I do think that you need to watch this film, because when I was coming on over here, I was listening to the Ravens broadcast team, and they were saying, like, sometimes you throw away film and just say, forget it, it was just too many bad things. I don't know. I feel like you kind of need to see. You got your ass whipped on camera.
Right.
Watch it.
Right.
And see
Correct.
What happened
exactly.
and learn from
Correct.
It so then it doesn't happen again.
All right, real quick. Let me run through some of these other responses that have come in. Again, just go ahead and comment right there in the comments on the video. That's totally fine. You can also tweet us. I'm at Glenn Clark Radio. She's at the NFL Chick is how you can get your tweets in. Larry says, Glenn, I think it's something in between. We're not this bad. The Jags are not this good. This was an indescribably embarrassing effort. Injuries are part of the game. Just can't use that as an excuse. I never believed in the offense they put together. Defensively will keep us in games, and they're opportunistic but not great. There was zero pass rush today. Rita, you alluded to that. You have to show up every week. Don't buy into the hype, but offensively we cannot compete, and we will struggle when the D is this bad. I have said this for a long time. This head coach, despite his extension, will get fired if we go 6-10 or 7-9 again. How can he not be? Don't want to be too reactive after such a performance, but this was very disconcerting, to say the least.
Yeah, but he has to realize that he got the extension because he didn't want to be a lame duck with all the injuries that they had on IR.
Right.
They didn't consider that to be fair, because they are going to go with that. They're going to say, here we go, once again, one of the top teams in the league,
right,
with players
15 players.
Already on injury reserve. So they didn't want to have that over his head.
And guys, by the way, that you've forgotten about. Like, you forget about
Correct.
Alex Lewis being on IR.
Which,
you,
not me.
Right. Well, I mean,
and not Flacco.
Well, that's true. There's no doubt about that. You forget about Tavon Young being
Correct.
On IR. You forget.
Correct.
Just how
Correct.
Disastrously bad it truly is. Now, like, Jeremy Langford being on IR, that's not a, you know, like, that's nothing.
Right.
But, like, for the most part, there are significant, maybe not the top. Marshall Yonda is the first top guy.
He's on top of the list.
That was on IR. But before that, they were significant players and guys that were expected to be real contributors.
Correct.
That were on IR already this season. I don't know what happens if they go 6-10 or worse. I don't think it's.
He comes back. That's what happens.
I don't think it's implausible that if somehow this team imploded, that Steve Bisciotti could have another change of heart, like, oh my God, this really is that bad. He's lost the locker room. This is a disaster type of. I don't think it's ever impossible that Steve Bisciotti could do that, but I tend to agree with you. And I also still, I'd be surprised if they completely imploded.
I just don't think that they have that in them to completely implode.
To go even 6-10, I mean, you're talking about a scenario where they can only win 4 games the rest of the season.
Correct. That to me, that's unlikely.
Yeah, I struggle with that. I don't feel good about their chances of making the playoffs.
I don't either.
But I never did.
No.
I wasn't going to lie and say, hey, beating the Browns and Bengals suddenly make me convinced this
Correct.
Is definitely a playoff team.
Correct.
I never felt that way.
I agree.
Deli brings up Tony Bergstrom should have been active. It is definitely not a good sign when the guy that you had play a week ago and you anoint as the guy going forward suddenly can't play the following week. He can't even be active.
I read, I believe, on Twitter that they made the change because he struggled when they did put him in the game last week. They didn't really like the way that he looked. And so maybe my guess is that, because Harbaugh, I believe, said that right after the game was over in his presser.
It's fine.
Right after the game. Maybe they went back and looked at some film and
but
was like, okay, maybe he's not as good as we thought that he was.
You turned to a guy you like so much that you didn't even have him on your roster a week ago.
Yeah, you're right.
You turned to Matt Skura. And look, Matt Skura, there was thought that he could compete at the center position during training camp.
Correct.
Like, you turned to a guy that you thought so much of, he could have, you would have been happy to have him sign anywhere else 8 days ago.
Right.
That's a disaster.
I agree.
And it speaks to really how desperate the situation is. Like, it's so bad. You traded a draft pick for a dude you can't even put on the football field when your only other option is a dude you didn't want on your roster a week ago.
Yep.
That's a mess.
That's bad.
And that's why I come back to the thought that it's going to get better. I think you're going to face defenses that aren't as good as the Jaguars.
Sure.
I think the Jaguars' defense is very good.
And that is something that the CBS broadcaster continued to bring up. We're not discrediting the Ravens' offense. Let's not do that. They're not good. They're not good, particularly up front, and everything else just doesn't fall into place. However, Jacksonville's defense is very good. Another thing KO and I discussed earlier in this game is that Calais Campbell, how big is that signing for that defensive line?
And ask anybody in Phoenix how much they miss Calais Campbell out there.
Absolutely. So I think that people need to understand, like you said, they brought a lot of youth with the draft, but the offseason transitions that they've made, that is a very good defense. They're going to be a top 10 defense. They were extremely dominant against a team that is having struggles with the offensive line, getting it together. I didn't think it would be that bad, but honestly, in the back of my head, even though I did pick the Ravens to win today, I had a bad feeling about this. Because you coming into a game with a defense
right.
that's playing that well, even though we tried to discredit it against the Texans, because the Texans, again, have bad offensive line.
Yes.
What they have confirmed today is that when a team has a bad offensive line, they take full advantage.
No doubt.
Full advantage of their weaknesses.
No doubt.
They did nothing different with the Ravens that they did 2 weeks ago against the Texans. And I expect nothing less from them against every other team that they play that has bad offensive lines.
By the way, our boy Barstool RDT from Barstool Sports loves the fact that you wore that shirt today.
I picked the wrong shirt today.
Loves the fact that you're rocking your Joe Flacco Elite t-shirt.
I picked
today.
The wrong shirt today, guys.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. Paul from Orlando, at least Alex Collins ran well today.
Well,
yeah.
Hey, listen, if you need a bright spot, if you need some kind of...
I don't know what to make
of that. Wait a minute, Glenn.
Rita, I have no idea what to
Glenn,
make of that.
Last week we talked good about Alex. He fumbled fine.
Right,
so
right.
that was... But if you are looking for a bright side, played well.
How much of that was in the second half when clearly the Jaguars were...
No, they were still blitzing. They were still blitzing when he came in.
I hear you.
Give that man his flowers. Don't do it, Glenn.
It's really hard to give anybody The only dude I was willing to say something nice about today was Jimmy Smith, because mostly they were still unwilling to throw to his side of the ball, right?
Humphrey, hold on. Humphrey had definitely, he played.
He struggled. They were clearly picking on him in the first half.
Well, sure, you would pick on him too,
but of course,
I do feel like as the game went on, he got better. The pass interference call to me was trash.
Yeah, I mean.
I thought that he came over that well, because they went right back to him, I believe, the next play. So I'm giving Humphrey his credit where credit is due. Yes, they picked on him a lot, because you're not going to throw to Jimmy Smith, because
right.
he's Jimmy Smith.
Right.
But I thought that for the most part, he handled himself pretty
decent. Tony Jefferson looked really bad on the touchdown.
He looked horrible.
For everybody that wants to talk about how good Tony Jefferson is, I was like, I've never seen anything about Tony Jefferson in coverage that makes me think.
That was supposed to be his strength, apparently.
He was in the box, right? Like in the box.
And against tight ends.
Okay, maybe so. I have never seen Tony. In the box, I get it. I just don't need another safety that can tackle. I need guys downfield that can cover.
Correct.
Give me the guys that can cover downfield. And look, I get that wasn't necessarily downfield, because that was just a fade route to the end zone. And Mercedes Lewis just abused him. It was really, really kind of sad to
Why
watch.
Why are we laughing about it, though?
It's an awful lot of money to pay to a dude that just got his ass kicked by Mercedes Lewis.
A lot of people got their ass kicked today and got paid handsomely.
All right, I need 30 seconds to tell you about the U.S. Army. We'll come back in. We got to start looking ahead to Pittsburgh. I got more responses to get to. It ain't fun. We haven't yelled as much as...
This is fun to me.
It's therapeutic is what I think it is.
It's very therapeutic. I want to drop some bombs, though. I would love to.
All right.
But I'm not. I'm a lady on the show.
I'm going to clear some space for Rita to get in. We'll do that next. We'll roll on the Project Game Day postgame show after the Ravens get obliterated by the Jaguars today.
Working as part of a team is strong. Working with a team of more than a million soldiers is Army Strong. Join the U.S. Army and train in one of more than 150 career fields that's more options than any other military branch. Visit your local Army recruiter or log on to GoArmy.com for more. There's Strong, and then there's Army Strong, paid for by the United States Army.
Money for college. More than 150 career paths. Up to $40,000 signing bonus. Visit GoArmy.com/40K bonus.
All right, back in here on the Project Game Day postgame show. It's Glenn and Rita. This is still preempted. And I'm going to say this, Rita, because I think I just got a message. First of all, I got a couple more messages to come in.
Yes.
Somebody who wants to question Joe Flacco's effort. He looked disinterested.
He stopped. He was the one to stop the guy.
Yes.
Let's stop.
Correct.
Okay, listen. I get that Joe is very annoying. I get that.
Right.
He was the one that hustled to get the guy out of bounds so they didn't score. Correct. On the turnover. So right. Please, I don't care about you talking about him being disinterested. When he's the only guy that's making the play, he's not disinterested. Stop it.
That's
just say you didn't like the way he played today and be done with
There's nothing wrong with saying Joe Flacco didn't play well today. He didn't. But again, it's not that simple. It's really not. Correct. The notion of Joe Flacco looked disinterested today. By the way, Jerry Macklin looked disinterested.
Jerry Macklin should have caught that the ball that was intercepted. It was right in his hands. Correct. It went straight through his hands and went to the old Texans guy that they got. Thank you. So please.
But by the way, I think people forgot how good A.J. Boye was. Correct. Too. He's really good.
So if we want to go about who's disinterested, shoot, we got a long list of people that was disinterested today.
No question. Sean wants. I don't know who Sean's referring to. Me too. Jeffries did good. Who's Jeffries?
Maybe Jefferson?
Jefferson, maybe. I mean,
who's Jeffries? I don't know.
He didn't do well on, maybe he meant Humphrey?
Maybe Humphrey.
Yeah, as the game went on, Humphrey got better, but he was getting picked on.
Yeah, he got picked on, as they should pick on. I mean, as they should, but I do think that he made some changes, and I thought that he played better down the stretch. I do.
I probably tend to agree with that. Probably. Probably.
You're not 110%, sure on that yet.
You know what I mean? Like, the game ended up being so damn weird.
It was.
It really becomes a game where you almost start dismissing everything that happened halftime and beyond.
The Ravens always, I'm telling you, they have games like that. They have games.
And where legitimately you don't know how much of it carries over to next week.
It typically, for the Ravens, we've seen this before. It typically does not. Now, I can't speak for the 2017 Ravens, but we've seen them get their ass handed to them before.
Right.
And then them collect themselves and play better the following week.
I know it
week.
Sounds weird to say this because everybody thinks of me as a cynic. I don't think they really lost 44-7 today. I think they got their butts kicked, but I think the difference between 24-7 and 44-7, it sounds weird to say because it's literally a 20-point difference, but I think it's mitigated. I don't think the final score truly, I think that things just got goofy.
It did.
You can't do the things that you want to do. The Ravens clearly want to run the ball. They couldn't run the ball.
They couldn't.
If they could have come out and established the run, and I get that's a huge if given the offensive line that's in front of them, but they're going to keep working to figure out ways to establish
Correct.
The run, then I think the day is a little bit different. If a ball doesn't go off a receiver's hand and get intercepted, there's so much weird that happens during the course of the game that I just can't buy into 44-7 as being a true indication of really the difference between these two teams. I think the Jaguars were much better than the Ravens were today, period.
That's it.
I don't know that they were actually 37 points better than the Ravens.
No.
I don't know if you played the game again next week what the results would be. I know the Ravens would still have a boatload of problems.
It just wasn't a good game from the beginning. You, myself, and KO were here in the beginning of the game, right? We were still together.
Yes.
They started the ball at the 40 because they kicked the ball out of bounds, Jacksonville. They couldn't get a first down. And what did I say to you? Literally, we talked about Nick Boyle. You and KO were like, what's crazy is Nick Boyle is
a guy that's a
pretty good blocker. And he got manhandled
just
by Dante Fowler.
No doubt.
And for me, unfortunately, like I didn't want to say it out loud, but I was like, that's setting a
sign of things to come,
If you're a good blocker. Correct. If you're a good blocker and you got manhandled like that, then that's the sign of what this game is going to be. And that essentially what happened today. The Ravens just weren't, they didn't get off the plane. I mean, it is what it is, unfortunately. They didn't get off the plane. The Jags, this is what they do every year. At this point, they're used to this schedule. So they're like, whatever, this is what we do here. We're here. And they were healthy. And that's, I mean, honestly, they were just a better team, but I agree with you 110%. I don't think that they were 37 points better than the Ravens today. I just don't get them to be that good.
But that doesn't take anything away from the fact that the Ravens were a disaster. They were
absolutely
a goddamn disaster.
Yes. But the Jags had a lot to do with that disaster. Like, let's not act like their defense isn't that good. They are that
they're very good.
Good.
No question. Larry does remind me, I brought up the fact that I'd be surprised if they you know, only won six games a year. He's like, they did start out 3-0 last year and only went 4-9 the rest of the way.
That's very true.
He also says, Glenn, you made a good point when you said the other younger pass rushers have to show up and help Suggs out. I mean, this is my point. If in the first 2 weeks they had played that way defensively and Za'Darius Smith, who I know was hurt, or Matt Judon or Tim Williams looked like a rock star, already had a few sacks, was already so disruptive that you said, oh boy, then I would be way more into buying into how good the fact that they were relying on Terrell Suggs.
Yep.
I just struggle with the notion that you could get that week in, week out.
I agree.
Dude, I know what it's like to be in your mid-30s. Rita, unfortunately,
I'm in my late 30s at this point.
This is the reality. Getting on a plane and flying overseas sucks and does things to your body that they don't do to guys that are in their 20s. Like, it just doesn't, it's not the same. I'm not trying to say that it dismisses Terrell Suggs, that I know Terrell Suggs will just come back and be a monster again next week, but I can't pretend like that's not a factor. I can't pretend like it doesn't exist.
I agree.
From Paul, Wells seems like a great teammate and leader, but there are times when you see him on the field and realize why the Chargers probably let him go. He looks slow. He's not strong enough anymore at times. I feel like him and Jefferson are kind of the same type of safety. If I was the Patriots, they'd probably let Weddle go after the season and move on. I'm probably just nitpicking, though. I mean, look, I really like Eric Weddle a lot. Now, part of that is also he's like a freaking 13 as a human being, and so it's tough to not really like
Correct.
Eric Weddle. You like everything about him.
He's very cool.
Right? All of those things. But the argument about him and Jefferson being similar, again, which one of those guys do you want covering? Which one of those guys do you trust one-on-one covering downfield?
Weddle.
I mean, really?
Because he has, I mean.
I trust him making plays. I trust him being the guy that steps in. And I just don't know that I like the idea of him going downfield one-on-one. This was always the problem. This was the reason why they got rid of Ed Reed, because at a certain time, you want your corners to be able to release to a safety that can handle the coverage downfield. And either one of those guys handling coverage downfield,
well, that was the point I was going to make, is that his resume says that that was what he was known for. But maybe it's not maybe. I think we are at the point where we have Weddle in the sunset part of his career where he's just not doing certain things anymore.
But I still think he can make plays.
Sure, he can make plays. Right. But then there are a couple of times a day he tried to drag somebody down, I believe a running back. He just couldn't do it. And so I think that that's the point that he's talking about. He's not strong enough anymore, where he just couldn't get this guy to go down to the ground. And I was just like, okay, Weddle's getting manhandled here a little bit. But Weddle has the better resume of the two, but Weddle is obviously getting older.
Right.
I mean, we do have to take that into account. So I do think that he's still one of the better safeties. He was still ranked, PFF had him ranked one of the top safeties last year. But yes, he's going to miss a step. He is going to miss a step. He's a year older. He's not in his 20s anymore, guys. He's getting older. So, yes.
Deli, exactly. Flacco probably had one bad play today with that interception to Ramsey. Line didn't protect Flacco at all, and for him to actually not give up after that fumble to make the tackle gets plenty of respect from me. He never gave up, right? I mean, it's absurd. The notion that Flacco gave up is absurd.
I don't understand what people. That's not the first time I've heard someone say that today, though.
This is all we can do. We just know the name of the quarterback, and everybody freaks out about
it. Find somebody else to pick on then.
Whatever. I'm so over that. All right, we'll come back in. I have not given you an opportunity to respond to how the Ravens handled the national anthem today, so I will let you have that chance. Before we wrap up, give me 30 seconds. I'll tell you about Par Excel, and we'll come back in, and we will do that and look ahead to Pittsburgh. It's Project Game Day, the post-game show, after the Ravens just got destroyed today by the Jaguars, 44-7.
The Par Excel Early Phase Unit at Harbor Hospital is looking for healthy males and females ages 18 to 85 to volunteer for a clinical research study. Length of participation and number of visits vary by study. If you qualify, you may receive compensation ranging from $1,200 to $8,500 upon completion. For more information, please visit our website or call 1-877-617-8839. Call now.
All right, Rita, I mean this because it's going to sound like I'm downplaying it. I'm not. What we do here, to me, the far bigger story is the Ravens got their asses kicked today. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
Yes, they did.
But I talked about it briefly at halftime. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to how everything played out today and the Ravens handled the national anthem. Yes, I do. I do want your opinion.
Okay. What about it?
What did you think of what the number of players that did the number of different things during the anthem today?
That part I think was weird to me, with like half people standing, interlocking, half people kneeling. And we talked about this as well, is that the problem that I believe now that we've come to with this is that the original protest, which started last season when another president was in office, was to raise awareness for oppression and inequality of people of color.
Right.
We all get that was never translated over to certain people. We've made it now about disrespecting a flag or a country, which that was never the intention. Although you've had tons of people in the military come out and say they do not feel disrespected by those actions. People have created their own narratives. Unfortunately, because of the actions of the president, you have people now that more than ever are willing to do the same.
But this protest felt more like it was about.
Correct. So now the narrative is shifting, which I hate, because the original point of this is still being missed.
Right.
And it's still very, very, very important.
Now
and
it's so about entitlement.
So now it's about, oh, that's what you said. You can't tell me what to do. You don't run me.
Right.
I'm going to do what I want to do. That's right. What this has become. We have missed the point of this. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all for people. Protests are never supposed to be comfortable. It's not to make you comfortable. It's to bring awareness. If it's to make people uncomfortable, it's to make you listen. I just feel like now we're at the point where this is being made about someone and not about the original point of which it was supposed to be made. And that's the only issue that I have with this, is that we're not sitting down and having these real conversations that should be had.
Yeah.
Now we're talking about all of this extra BS that has nothing to do with what this was
created
for. Right,
the point of all this, yeah.
And that's the unfortunate. That's super unfortunate to me.
I hear you. I have no idea what to make of any of it, right? Like, there was definitely I know there was a lot of eye rolling going on when people saw Ray Lewis taking
it. Well, I was one of them, yes. And you know why? Because Ray Lewis is playing the fence now. Not long ago, he went on Fox Sports and said that he had a problem with what Cap was doing. And then now all of a sudden you're on the sidelines. And at first we thought it was two knees, like he was praying, because we thought that was
right,
potentially the exact.
Right.
No, he was up there with one knee too. So there's pictures of him with both one knee and two knees. So I need to know what side you're on. There's at this point.
I also don't really understand why it is that a TV football analyst is part of a team.
Absolutely. That you are no longer a part of. You are not a Raven anymore, sir.
I got a real, like, you got to do one or the other. Like, you can't both be a guy that's going to go on TV and be criticizing, you know, players, owners, whoever, and also be a part of a team. If I'm a player on the roster, I got a problem with that, right?
And like, CJ Mosley, if there's a picture of, like, them together, and CJ Mosley, of course, I don't know what his what he was looking at or whatever, but he just looks annoyed. I don't know if it's with Ray. I'm not
right,
implying that it is.
Right.
However, if it is, it's hilarious. Like, Ray, come on, man. Pick what side you're on.
Right.
Are you an analyst or are you a coach of this team?
Right.
Like, you're not both.
If you want to be, I think Steve Bisciotti will probably hire you. If that's what
tomorrow,
you want to do.
Tomorrow.
Right.
Do it
I think
tomorrow.
Steve Bisciotti will probably give you a job.
You told us not too long ago that you were against his actions, yet you went with your former teammates and did the same thing. I don't know what side you're on.
Right.
And unfortunately, it's led me to come to the conclusion that you just want the attention.
Right. Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people that will line up
that. I know. Listen, guys, we love Ray Lewis, the player. I get it. So we don't like to talk bad about Ray Lewis here, but
his post-playing career
has been bizarre at best.
Yeah.
I literally watched you say one thing and do something else. I don't know what to believe from you anymore at this point.
And I'm pretty sure that you lied through your teeth when you went on Showtime earlier this
year.
And tried to make it seem like the Ravens said that you could decide if they're going to sign Colin Kaepernick.
I'm positive of that.
There's just a lot of it's been really bad.
And I'm over it. Honestly, I am over just. Turn his mic off. I don't want to hear it anymore.
I'm with you.
I don't want to hear it.
I'm with you. All right. As we wrap up, Steelers next week, they're kicking off right now against the Bears. Nearly hit a touchdown on the first play from scrimmage. I don't know who the receiver
is. I don't know what that's like. I have no idea what that's like.
A disaster situation where you've got to do this flight again, and you got to turn around and get ready for what is one of your two most important games of the season.
Absolutely.
Not fun, not good. There's no way to feel good about anything right now. I'll be the one to say, look, I actually think the Steelers are a better matchup for the Ravens than the Jaguars.
Absolutely.
As goofy as that is, I think you take your chances against that defense and being able to at least do something offensively as compared to what you did against the Jaguars. Now, if your defense can't do better, I don't think you're winning a shootout with the Steelers either. So your defense got to perform far better than it did. But I will at least I don't think that they're going to do zero. They did nothing. They did zero offensively against the Jaguars. I like their chances of at least doing
something
offensively against the Steelers.
And the Ravens have the last few matchups against them in their favor. The Steelers, they just beat them for the first time in, six previous attempts or something like that. Obviously, I don't know the number, but they went a couple of years where they were beating them, and the Steelers finally got one in on them.
Yep.
So you have to feel confident about knowing your opponent, knowing what they're going to do. because the Steelers are going to be who they are. Well, Nothing's changed.
They need Brandon Williams back badly.
They do need Le'Veon Bell. They do need Brandon Williams back badly. But I agree with you in terms of this being a better matchup. Another silver lining that you do have to look at if you're a Ravens fan is that although this was a conference loss, this is not a divisional loss. You're still 2-0 in the division.
Right.
If you beat the Steelers, you're 3-0 in the division.
Right.
You'll take that any day. I will take them getting their ass whipped by Jacksonville and beating
better,
the Steelers
yes, over the
than the other way
Correct.
Around.
No doubt.
So those are the two things that you do have to be looking forward to in a positive manner. I agree. I hope that Brandon Williams finds his way back into the lineup next week because that plays a big role into how this game is going to go. Defensively, the Steelers have gotten a little bit better. T.J. Watt has played well in place of James Harrison, but their secondary still is suspect. And if you can,
although Joe Hayden always plays well against the Ravens,
That signing to me was just like, oh, okay. I didn't feel any.
I hear you.
I was very indifferent about it.
Not me, because he kills the Ravens.
But now he's on the Steelers.
The Ravens. That's fine. He's just made a living out of killing the Ravens, and I'm terrified of that. I don't know what it is.
Maybe
he kills the Ravens.
Potentially.
Three interceptions. Last year, Rita.
I'm just saying that, you know, the Steelers defense to me is Joe Hayden is not he's not on the good side of his career at this point. He's had a couple
I
bad years.
I disagree with that.
Yes, I know it was injuries.
Three interceptions against the Ravens last year.
I'm just saying, like, I feel confident that they'll take that ass whooping on the chin and just be like, hey, it wasn't our week. Let's just get it together and get together next week. I'm not saying they're gonna win.
Right.
I just don't think that they're gonna lose 44-7.
I hear you. All right, thank you to all of you who chimed in. Please continue to share. Would you just click share already?
Please.
That would mean the world to us if you would just click share every week, even as the video is ending, even as we wrap this up. If you still just click share so that people can watch it as the day goes on, that would mean a great deal. I know a lot of people probably are still thinking about football, watching the Steelers game, whatever. But please click share. Rita, you're on Twitter, at the NFL Chick.
Yes, I am.
The Fantasy and Reality Football Show, of course, every Sunday morning. Next week, you go back to 10 to noon.
Yes,
like normal.
Thank God.
I'm so over 9:30 a.m. football. I've been over 9:30 a.m. football. It sucks.
So you could never be on the West Coast.
It sucks. No, I when I lived on the West Coast, I was young, right? So like the 2 years that I lived in Phoenix, I loved 10 a.m. football because I would just drink all night the night before and keep drinking again at 10 a.m. But I can't operate like that
anymore,
now as an adult, so I hate it.
Yeah.
So I hate
9:30
a.m.
football.
Adulting
is so lame.
Oh, it's the worst. God, it's the worst.
Can't do no fun stuff anymore.
At Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. Glenn Clark Radio every day, 10 to noon. We have a lot to talk about this week. A lot.
Yes.
As the Ravens start getting ready for the Steelers. Rita, it was fun as always. Thanks to Parx.
I think that was an interception.
Oh, that's lovely.
Great.
I like that. May the Ravens get 100 of those next week. Thanks to PressBox. Thanks to ParXL. Thanks to the U.S. Army. This has been Project Game Day. We will talk to you next Sunday after Ravens Steelers.
Oh, it was a punt, and he touched it.